Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. Before we get started with our interesting show this week, I'd like to publicly thank our Admiral sponsors. They are greatly appreciated. Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications. America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, or AGLCA as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share the adventure and camaraderie of America's Great Loop. For those not familiar with the Great Loop, it's the continuous waterway that circles the eastern portion of North America. Our association was formed to disseminate information about this awesome journey. For those wishing to learn more about the Great Loop, please visit our website at www.greatloop.org. Non-members can join the association at the site, or anyone can sign up for one of our one-day seminars that will give you a wealth of information about the cruising lifestyle that is the Great Loop. Our guest this week is Lester Branch. Lester is a fairly new member of AGLCA, and he currently cruises on his 44-foot Gulfstar Robin's Nest. There have been some recent posts in the AGLCA discussion forum about the Lower Mississippi, and Lester called and told me he's been getting several phone calls a week from members who want to know more about this alternate loop route. Lester, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I should tell our listeners out there, Robin, Lester's captain, admiral, first mate, whatever, couldn't be with us today, but she did want to give us the female perspective. If we have to, we can do another show later on in the season. Lester, where should we start?
Well, let's go ahead and just start where the Lower Mississippi starts, and that's at Cairo, mile marker 953 for the Lower Mississippi. And most loopers, you know, as they come down the Mississippi, they make a left turn at the Ohio River, and I have cruised actually from Chicago to I'm currently in New Orleans right now, where the boat is, and I have not cruised from the Chafalaya River to New Orleans on the Mississippi. I got off the Mississippi at the Chafalaya, but I had to go beyond the Ohio out of necessity. I bought the boat in the Great Lakes and took it to Muskogee, Oklahoma. And then to leave Muskogee, Oklahoma, the way to get back to the loop, the easy way is to go down the Mississippi. So that's my Mississippi River experience. And it's an intimidating river until you get on it. And it really is not that bad of a trip.
It kind of has a tough reputation.
It does. And, you know, I remember when I got on it the first time, and I was pretty apprehensive. The Mark Twain stories we read as children, and the reputation of its floodwaters and what have you. And I was almost scared of it.
Uh-huh.
When we went down it the first time, which was half of it, it had just crested from a flood stage a week before that probably. And so I was really worried about the debris, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. In some ways, it was probably one of the easier rivers I've been on. Once you get used to it. Yeah, once you get used to it, it's not that bad. You hear a lot of people talk about the lack of anchorages and the lack of marinas and places to provision, and they're absolutely right. They're absolutely right. But I have a little different way of doing the Mississippi that certainly works for me. And I recommend it to others. I don't anchor in the Mississippi itself. And so going back to where it starts, at mile marker 953, and headed, you know, headed south on the river, what I look for is I have a boat that we on calm waters we do about a 50-mile day. That's what we're comfortable doing. But on the Mississippi, that easily turns into a 75-mile day. You get a nice we got a 6-mile-per-hour boost in some places on the Mississippi this last year. Yeah, which is really nice on the fuel situation. But so what I do is I go through my charts, and I use the paper chart that I use is the Corps of Engineers booklet for the lower Mississippi. And I go through that. I also have MapTech on my iPad that has the inland river system on it. And so I find places that look like either on the chart, on the iPad or on the chart book, looks like it might be a place like a little harbor. And there's a lot of them on the Mississippi, and they're little fleet harbors where there might be a large granary or something there where they load and offload barges. So the next thing I do, and it's real easy on the iPad using iNavac, you can also do it with Google Earth, but then I zero in with a satellite picture of that little fleet harbor. And what I'm looking for, is barges. And I know that if the barges are in there and that there's a terminal, a small terminal there, then I know that there's enough draft for my vessel to get in and out. And so then I go, when I go into those fleeting harbors, I go into the far end of it and either drop an anchor there or tie up to a barge. Or on this last trip, we were allowed to tie up to two tugboats.
Really?
In fact, we got to tour a relatively new one, which was a pretty neat experience. So, you know, consequently, I don't anchor in the river itself. It's a very fast river, I don't care to do it, and I don't have to do it. If you do just a little bit of research and find these fleeting harbors or fleet harbors, and they're just there's enough of them that if you plan your trip, there's some days that we are tied up to something by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We never ever go beyond dark, so we time all of our stops to. We typically like to be tied up to something around 3 o'clock this time of the year. In the summertime, it's a little different. But you can put a lot of miles on in the summertime because you got more daylight, obviously.
Are there any marinas, Lester, on the lower Mississippi?
There's one. There's two. There's Memphis at Mud Island, which is a great marina.
Okay.
And Greenville. Yeah, and then at Greenville, Mississippi, is the Greenville Yacht Club. And when we were in Memphis, we had some repairs to make, and the marina was very hospitable, pointed us in the right direction to get the parts that we needed to make our repairs. And it's a nice marina. And then Greenville, I had heard so many things, so many negative things about the Greenville Yacht Club.
Really?
Exorbitant prices per foot, not very friendly. And our experience when we got there was exactly the opposite of that. Extremely nice people. We actually got there on Halloween night. And got to be the judges for their Halloween costume party. I will say that their electricity, their shore power leaves a little to be desired. So I didn't trust it, and I ran my generator. And I have a 44-foot boat, so they were going to charge $40 a night, and they gave me one night free because I used my generator. So there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
remarkably good.
Yeah, it is. It is good. And
their fuel
was a good price. We didn't need fuel, but we went with a buddy boat, and he happens to be gas, and so he needed fuel. And I'll say this, since I'm on the fuel, Greenville is the last place on the lower Mississippi you can get fuel until you get to Lake Pontchartrain.
Okay.
That keeps a lot of people off the river.
Yeah.
Robin's Nest has a 500-gallon fuel tank. And on calm waters, we have a 1,000-mile range, or a little over a 1,000-mile range. And on the Mississippi, my gosh, it approaches 2,000-mile range. So for our diesel boat, it's not an issue whatsoever. But they make some nice bladders, and our buddy boat brought a 150-gallon bladder that he carried on the front of his boat.
Uh-huh.
And with that he had no issues. But
okay.
That's the way to go down to Mississippi, is if you don't have enough fuel in a gas boat, then you're going to want to put a bladder on it. I'll also say that he gets, on calm waters, he gets 1 mile per gallon, and on the Mississippi, he got a little over 2 miles per gallon. So you can consider that.
That's a huge difference.
You're going to get a great boost on the river.
Uh-huh. Is that something that you can definitely guarantee, Lester, or is that kind of, you really still need to bring on more fuel?
Well, let me look here real quick, because Memphis is about mile marker 730, and Greenville is 540, so it's 200 miles to, roughly 200 miles to Greenville. And then now you can get, like I said, we get off at the Atchafalaya River, so it's about 120 miles off of the Atchafalaya before you get to Morgan City, Louisiana, and you can get fuel there. So it's not that, I don't think you need that much range.
You just need to figure it out ahead of time and be a little bit cautious.
Yeah,
Are there any particular troublesome spots that we need to avoid?
The only issue that we had on this last go-round was across the river from Natchez, Mississippi, is a commercial facility called Vidalia Dock and Storage. And they charged us $50 a night to tie up there, and you're literally tying up to a barge. And you have to call them and make those arrangements.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's too big an issue. But you have to sign a release with them, releasing them from any liability. And but the most treacherous part of that was you have to kind of, because they had a couple of tugboats that they were working on there, I kind of had to weave through some tight stuff getting in there with the four or five knot current. And so it was really swift water there, and I made four stabs at it, and finally on the fourth shot, I got in there the way I wanted.
Wow.
The dock hands will come out and help you tie. It's or the deck hands off the boats will come to help you tie. That was the worst place that we had
uh-huh.
the whole trip, and so it wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't a deal breaker for sure.
Okay, but that was basically because of the current.
Because of the what?
The current.
The current's what makes it tough. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll
take a break if you don't mind, Lester. Let's just do a quick commercial. Give me a minute.
Northport Bay Boatyard is a complete marine service facility located on Grand Traverse Bay in Northport, Michigan. They feature over 85,000 square feet of heated storage, and they are offering loopers a 10% discount on heated storage, as well as a winter labor rate of $75. That's a $10 discount off their usual rate. For more information, visit www.npbby.com or call 231-386-5151. Northport Bay Boatyard is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. Lester, how long were you on the lower Mississippi?
I think I was on it about travel time was only about 5 or 6 days. We laid over a few days in Greenville and Vicksburg and a day at Natchez. So, you know, we had a couple of 80-mile days that we did. So I think we were on the river 5 days. But now,
okay,
Second consideration, we got on the river at where the Arkansas River joins up this last go-round. To get to the Arkansas River, when I did that, I did it in the summertime, and it was about 3 or 4 days. So from the Ohio to the Chappalaya is probably roughly 10 days, 10 easy travel days.
So basically you do, well, depending on how much storage you have on your boat, you really will need to provision sometime during that trip.
Well, you can certainly do it. The easiest place to provision on the lower Mississippi would be Memphis.
Memphis, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, you're looking at, we left Muskogee, Oklahoma, which is 400 miles from the Mississippi, and then did, you know, all the way to New Orleans, and we carried way too much food.
Did you? I think that's a mistake a lot of us make.
Well, you know.
When you're in Memphis, do you need to rent a car, or are there places to provision within walking distance? Or
You should rent a car. There's not a courtesy car at the marina there, so you can rent a car, or there's a pretty good trolley system there.
Oh.
I don't know. We had a car rented because we were there for several days.
Uh-huh.
And Memphis is a definite, you know, place you want to stay there for a while.
Uh-huh.
The food is just amazing, and the music, you know, the
really
first music and it's food, and it's both are worth it. So and I can't remember, but I think it was $1 a foot at the Memphis at the Memphis Yacht Club as well. So they're very reasonable.
Are there any historic sites to see? I know Memphis would obviously have places you'd want to visit, but on the entire lower Mississippi, what have, you know, recommended stops?
Well, we are history buffs, and so for us, Vicksburg was the highlight. It was exciting from a historical perspective.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
In fact, where we were tied up, of course, they moved the river after the flood of 27 or 29, and so what is now the Yazoo River now used to be the Mississippi. And literally where we were tied up is where a huge naval battle happened over Vicksburg. And so it was just, from a historical perspective, it was exciting being there.
Huh?
And we loved it. We were there for 3 days, and we could have spent another week there. If we,
really?
It's neat. And good food again. So, and Natchez has got a really neat history as well. Natchez never did fall to the Union Army during the Civil War. So that left their town completely intact. They didn't, where Vicksburg fell.
Very interesting. Steve and I took a old-fashioned Mississippi River cruise many, many years ago, and I remember Natchez well. The actual town was just so far up the from the riverbed, and we were northerners at that time. I don't think I've ever felt such heat in my life. I was just overwhelmed by it.
Well, we were there. We were there in October, or actually November, so the heat was not an issue at all. But well, Vicksburg is the same way. Both those towns are on, you know, big hills up from the river.
Yeah.
It was, the history of both those places is just amazing.
Yeah, it's neat. For some reason, that whole delta just really surprised me. I just pictured the towns like, New Orleans is basically, well, it is level, But, you know, with Natchez and Vicksburg, it's just so far up from the riverbed. Is that up the Mississippi River, Lester?
You know, those are the two towns that I'm most familiar with that are so far up. The river actually goes, you know, by a very large hill. It's cut into the side of this big hill.
Uh-huh.
And it's certainly a logical place to start a community when they did.
Yeah.
You know, and Natchez has structures from pre-1800. So, you know, that was pretty cool. The,
uh-huh.
You know, one from Oklahoma, which is a relatively young state, and so, you know, it was pretty cool. And then the antebellum homes in both towns are nice. The like I said, Natchez didn't fall during the war, so their stuff is still intact, where Vicksburg did fall, and so they lost some of their homes. But they have a great, great museum there. It's an old courthouse. It's a beautiful building. And I think photographically, you know, we took more pictures in Vicksburg. I think it's more photogenic.
At Natchez, or?
No, actually in Vicksburg is where we took the most pictures. It was just, it's a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is a beautiful city. And it, you know, so then we continued on down, got on Atchafalaya and went to Morgan City. And Morgan City is neat. We didn't stay there, but just overnight. But the highlight of it probably was buying, it was our first opportunity to buy shrimp right off the boat. And they have a city dock that you can tie to. And it's $20, and it includes electricity and water. You get a little traffic by there. We got waked really hard one time, and the rest of the time the tows would come through, and we didn't get waked very hard at all. And then from there we went to Houma, Louisiana, and Houma has a city park with a little city marina. I think calling it a marina might be a little bit of an overstretch, but a beautiful, beautiful park that you actually get to tie alongside, and it's $25 a night.
You can get those prices.
Oh, they're great. But that includes electricity, water, and a pump out. So,
unbelievable.
And it has a laundry facility just a couple blocks away, which by the time you get there, it's going to be pretty critical.
You'll have been on the river for a long time.
We had stopped in. We did laundry in... Little Rock while we were still on the Arkansas. So the last time we did laundry before we got to Houma was Little Rock. So it'd been a while.
Yeah.
But
how bad is the commercial traffic on the Lower Mississippi, Lester? Is it?
I'm really glad you asked. We have AIS, which really
that was going to be my next question. Do you recommend AIS?
You know, I went from the Ohio to the Arkansas without it, and then I added it for this trip. So I've done it both ways. It's a lot more convenient to have it because it's just so much easier to call the tows by name. But to talk about the traffic a little bit, the tows are huge.
Are they?
Oh, my gosh. They're 63 tows is not out of the question. But it's a huge river, so there's lots of room. It's not you communicate with them, and you know they'll let you know if they want to do a one whistle or a two whistle meeting, and it's just a piece of cake. They'll help you if you have any questions. They'll answer your questions. I will tell you this, they're upbound. If the upbound tows are going to take the inside of the bends because of slower water, and, you know, we're trying to get good fuel mileage, so we're going to take the outside of the bends for the speed. So it just works out really, really good. We stay out of each other's way. They're very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not, I can tell you we saw a Corps of Engineers barge that was completely full of bulldozers. And they all look like little matchbox toys. That's how big that that barge was.
And I guess that is much, much more commercial than the upper Mississippi.
It is. It is. I think commercially they're about the same, but there's nothing to restrict the size of the tows on the lower Mississippi until
okay.
they get to St. Louis.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to restrict them, but these little fleeting harbors I was talking about earlier, that's where they break, you know, they'll break a few barges off or add a few to them, and,
mm-hmm.
and they're plentiful. So those are the ideal places to, you know, to tie up or anchor for the evening. That gets you off the river, out of the current.
And out of the track.
It's kind of narrow, so if you have a storm hit during the night, it's not an issue at all. It's just the safest thing to do. But,
and, of course, then you end your trip at New Orleans.
Yes. Yes, we did. Well, we took a pause. We took a pause.
Particular marina there that you would recommend?
We are currently at Seabrook Marine, which is where the Industrial Canal goes into the Lake Pontchartrain. It's just half a mile from the lake. At the time we got there, it was the only marina that had an opening.
Uh-huh.
And that's something, you know, on the New Orleans side. You can go on the other side of the lake, and there's plenty of spaces. But when we got there, the day we got there, the wind had come up. Well, by the time we got tied up, it was blowing about 30. And
oh, my goodness.
And it was hitting in the 40s that night. So I knew that was coming. I didn't want to be on Lake Pontchartrain.
Sure.
You know, with that kind of wind. And we did have about 3 days on the Mississippi where it blew in the 30s. And, you know, in a lot of waterways, you wouldn't want to be out there. But on the Mississippi, it's wide, so you get some pretty good chop in places. But you go around one bend, you got a 30-mile-an-hour tailwind. You know, in the next bend, you got a 30-mile-an-hour headwind or a beam wind. But went right on through it, and it was okay. It wasn't bad at all. It was just really windy, but just more noise than anything.
I guess we're almost out of time, Lester. I do have one question. I don't know if it's hard for you to answer, but if you had to make a choice again, would you take the lower Mississippi or the Ten Tom?
Well, I haven't done the Ten Tom, so that'll be my next shot.
Oh, you've never done the Ten Tom? I'm sorry.
We literally, when we left Muskogee, Oklahoma, October 18th, that was our beginning day of the Great Loop. So,
fantastic.
So we are.
So you conquered the lower Mississippi on the very, very beginning of the loop.
Yes, yes.
You should be very, very proud of yourself.
Well, I recommend it. If you don't have to do the Ten Tom, or if you want to go to New Orleans, don't be afraid of it. I was at one time,
mm-hmm.
and now I kind of embrace the Mississippi. It's a neat river.
Well, that's a great, Lester. I really appreciate your contacting me. This has been really informative for me and very interesting. I guess until next time, is there anything you'd like to close with?
No, just my encouragement to those who want to do it. Don't let anything hold them back. It's working.
Okay.
It's
well, thank you very much for this, Lester. I appreciate it. Say
All
hello
right.
to
Thanks,
Robin.
All right.
And
okay.
everyone out there, as we approach the holidays, have safe cruising. Happy holidays. And to those that are still waiting to cross the Gulf, a special safe cruising. Until next time, thanks, everyone. Bye. Thanks, Lester. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Northport Bay Boat Yard is a complete marine service facility located on Grand Traverse Bay in Northport, Michigan. They feature over 85,000 square feet of heated